because we got the alternative energy. Right. And we kill our free autonomy.
And welcome to the Radioactive Show, produced at the studios of 3CR Melbourne and heard nationally on the Community Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the Radioactive Show. I'm Michaela. The Australian Nuclear Free Alliance is an Indigenous-led alliance that has been meeting since 1996 to look at ways to work together and form a strong nuclear-free movement that has had incredible successes at stopping nuclear developments. And what we're going to hear today is a few conversations with some of the people attending the meeting in August this year on Nukanu country about a range of issues that they're having with mining on their country, and also about the actions that they're taking to put in place really strong protections that can look after these countries for the future generations. So we're going to go first to hear a conversation with Deirdre Coulthard, who's an Adnyamatno woman, and she's also joined in this conversation by Trish Frail.
My name is Deirdre Coulthard, and I'm born in Leigh Creek, so originally from Leigh Creek, Copley area, but I'm also on a board on a World Heritage. We're trying to get, for the last 2 years, we've been trying to get World Heritage for the whole of the Flinders Ranges. So that includes the three national parks plus the whole Flinders Ranges. They reckon it's going to take about 6 years for it all to come through, but I've got paperwork, newspapers and advertisers of our old grandfathers. Back in the 80s they wanted World Heritage. They were talking about it then, but national parks and I don't know, other people, maybe pastoralists, just didn't want to go ahead with it, and government. Yeah, so I'm also on a national parks board too, Vulkatana National Parks, up there, Balkanuna. And yeah, so we've got a 2-day meeting tomorrow and Tuesday coming up to try and look after our land and turn it into World Heritage.
Amazing. Yes, so vital, isn't it, in order to protect it, especially at this time when there's just such a massive push and support for expansion of mining. Tell us a bit about what developments are happening on your country at the moment and what impacts you've seen from that.
Well, so far we're still all talking. It's all getting information from a man named Terry Bailey. He's been helping us a lot. We're trying to, just to stop mining. We don't want mining destruction in our land because you can't put it back to how it was before. And we're getting sick with the breathing in the air, the dust pollution. So, we're talking about it and hopefully we can hurry up and get it done for the whole world to know that we are a unique country that we live in, and we love our country. We're proud where we come from.
And who else is, who are you working together with at taking this proposal forward?
We got some national parks on board with us, some of the heritage people on board, and then some people we can bring along in the community along with us, one person. But at least it's, another ears and eyes and, knowledge and experience we've got in the room with that, from that one person. But, we've got a lot of photographs, a lot of evidence and stories of old people in our country and, how they were treated when they were working on the stations. And some of our old people could be as rich as Sydney Kidman and, that Gina Reinhardt and them, but they just paid tea and sugar and flour and tobacco and alcohol. And a lot of them, you go to the cemeteries now and look at the headstones, they passed away in their 40s. And you ask mum, how come so and so passed away that young? One of our uncles, he was made hard worker, he was started working since he was a toddler nearly, and just worked and worked and got introduced to alcohol and tobacco and passed away at a young age. And yet they were good, hard workers. History's very important. The truth, and it needs to be told. Yes.
And I think, yeah, having that vision that you have of protecting that for the future generations as well.
Generations, yes, that's right, yes. Yep.
I'm Trish Frail. I'm a Nambar woman from Bawarrina, which is Western New South Wales, and we actually have the oldest man-made structure in the world. This morning, the girls were talking about World Heritage meeting tomorrow, and it's like, oh, really? So I've worked it out. I can go for a couple of hours, and so which is going to be really good for me because at the moment, I'm the only one in our hometown who's working on the World Heritage. Like, everyone's saying, oh, wow, that'd be really, really great. But no one's actually stepping up to help me. Except for the council. But then again, I'm also on the council, so I was able to push it through there. Yeah. But, yeah, I really need that extra eyes and ears and... because everyone else has got a different view. And while I was actually working at the council, this is going back a long time ago, I had to do some research on the fish traps, and I had to go around to all the families and ask them their story about the fish traps. And every story was the same. There was no different stories, and if they were different, they were different in one little minute way that wasn't really worth acknowledging. So it's like everyone's story is worth acknowledging, but yeah. And then, but it was really, really good, so I just can't wait for tomorrow's meeting and follow these girls and tackle them and get right into it. And again, with national parks, like, we've got a sign saying that national parks has got it all World Heritage listed. And so I said that the whole community thought it was. And when I done some research and found out it wasn't, and everyone's going, what? And it didn't matter what nationality you were. Like, everyone just assumed it wasn't it. So they were all horrified. And so that's why I've started working on getting it World Heritage listed.
Oh, that's fantastic. And yeah, that's awesome that you're working in solidarity together. And there's been a lot of talk about the importance of that here at this Nuclear Free Alliance meeting. Do you want to just expand on how that's felt for you?
And that's just great because, like, well, I've known these girls for a few years now. We didn't realise the stronger connection because we've all been involved in the in ANFA, the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance. And so now that we've got our annual meeting and it came out that, yep, World Heritage listing. So, yeah, it's just been great coming here to this meeting, learning all everything else that's going on in the anti-nuclear movement. And, and then this is just an added bonus.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just returning to something that you talked about in the meeting was about the coal mine at Copley and the fire that's ongoing. Can you tell us a bit about how that mine started and who's responsible for it now?
Well, that was back in the 50s, I reckon. They discovered coal there and they were transporting it by a coal train with over 200 carriages from Lee Creek coal mines to the Port Augusta, top of the Spencer Gulf. So it was about 300 kilometres in carriages that weren't covered over. So they'd go through Copley, all that dust would come up off the train, coal, and into the communities. But we'd always stay inside the house, wasn't allowed to play around when the train went past. That's been with ETSA. ETSA was the first ones. And then all these other companies, Alint Energy, and took over. But none of them cleaned up, no mess, they just kept on going on and making more mess instead of and more damage. So it's sad that smoke, don't matter how much rain we get on a rainy day, the smoke still comes off the coal mines. That's our dream, our mura, our stories go there about Yuli the Kingfisher from Lee Creek to the Ikara, Wilpena Pound. And that coal they dug out a few years ago, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago, a big fire stick from there and few big damper rocks. I don't know, they were a pretty big one, massive damper rocks. As soon as they pulled them out, our weather's been going mad, eh? We get rain, big rainstorms in March with the flash flooding and things, and yeah, it's just weird weather we get. I reckon we always said if they put them things back in that ground, back in the coal mines, because they, at the moment they're just sitting out in the open air and rotting away. They're fragile, breaking off, little pieces are breaking off here and there. If they put them back in the ground, yeah, they at least survive another 50, 80,000 million years or whatever. But yeah, it's sad. That smell, we can smell that. 30 kilometres north of the town and 30 kilometres south of the town. You can smell that ugly smell of that coal mine.
And so when did they stop mining the coal there?
I reckon it must be, I don't know, 8 years ago or 10 years ago must be. The coal, yeah, stopped.
And what about the fire? When did that start?
That's been going since this time of beginning, and it's still going to this day.
Right, that's crazy. So even while the mine was operating, the fire was going on?
The fire was still going, yes.
And have there been any attempts to put it out?
No, you can't put that out. No matter how much rain, oh, like I said, you know, how much rain we get, big, heavy downpour, that thing will still be firing and smoking and coming straight for our little community, Copley.
So has there been any so-called rehabilitation work done at the site?
No rehabilitation, none of that. We used to have a little creek just the other side of the coal mine. Run across the road, water would run across. There'd be little fish in that creek. We used to always love that. Back in early 2000s, we'd see them little fish. But now we don't see that creek no more running, and we'd yeah, no fish there no more.
So what are you calling for in regards to that? What would you like to see happen?
I'd like that environment man to come up and have a look at that water, that land, that air that we're breathing and that water that surround that area. Yeah.
Yeah, so they haven't done any tests or studies to see how it's impacting the community?
No research, nothing. Down Adelaide to the Parliament House and sit on the steps there and just say, you know, stop it, enough's enough, and leave our land alone, and yeah, we need it for our next generations.
And we just heard there on the Radioactive Show the voices of Deirdre Coulthard and Trish Frail speaking at the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance meeting that was held on Nukanu Country, and that was on the 31st of August this year. And that area of Adnyamatna country, including the Gammon and Flinders Ranges, we heard them talking about that World Heritage bid. And this was submitted to UNESCO in 2021. And at the end of June this year, it was added to the tentative list. So that bid highlights the outstanding geological and paleontological significance of the area, which showcases 350 million year-old record of life's evolution from the Ediacaran period to the Cambrian. And in fact, it contains the world's finest evidence of Ediacaran biota, which is the earliest forms of complex multicellular animal life. So this bid is now in the final stages, and a decision is expected next year after a vote by the World Heritage Committee. So we hope to be bringing you some good news on that work next year. And we heard there about the fantastic solidarity and information sharing, skill sharing that was happening at the Nuclear Free Alliance meeting, and that Lee Creek coal mine had been operating for 70 years. So it finished operations in 2015. The site's now managed by the Department of Energy and Mining and is supposed to be undergoing remediation. So we'll keep an eye on what is happening there. Next up, we are going to hear from Regina McKenzie, and she's going to talk a bit more about some of the proposed uranium projects that they are facing in that area at the moment, and also some of the impacts that they're seeing on the water, on or the animals, because of uranium mining. So here we are, Regina McKenzie.
My name's Regina McKenzie. I'm a Luritja Lower Southern Islander, and here in the Flinders Ranges, I'm a Guyani Wurundjeri Yurrena person.
And were you involved before the waste dump campaign here, or is that what sort of got you connected up with all this crew?
I knew the crew and stuff, like when there was fighting against, when there was an issue with when Beverley Uranium Mines first came out. But because I had a little girl at the time, I didn't have the time because I was a single mum. So, yeah, but I always knew about it.
And tell us about, some of the different nuclear projects that are happening in your country.
Well, I knew that there was four new up in Wirreelpa, down in Framsdown and Wirreelpa and Martinswell area, that they and back into Wirreelpa, that they planned on putting uranium mining. But Heather just informed me that there's another one out up near Copley. So, that's five. The Flinders Ranges cannot sustain, Beverley Uranium Mine is one too many. We had Mount Painter a long time ago, that was the thing. It just, leave it in the ground. That's what they need to do. They don't know what to do with the waste. They don't know what to do with the stuff they get in the first place, These so-called experts say that they know all this stuff about uranium, but they know nothing. It is safer left in the ground. They keep saying about it's so-called free energy and all this and that, it's cheap energy and stuff. They keep saying it's cheap to start it up, but what about the waste? What the costing of the waste is in the multi-billion dollar area. They failed, so who's going to pay for that there? The government's not going to, it's going to be the people. So, this is what people got to remember and think about nuclear. If they go into nuclear, they're going to end up paying for the wastes. And, I don't think that we should curse our future to pay for what we stupid decisions that they make today. If they go into nuclear, go into renewable energy, it's not so much better.
Yeah, tell us a bit about what's been happening there, because I know that you've been a bit involved with this new First Nations Energy Alliance, is it?
It's what Katnam's doing with the renewable energy, First Nations energies. It's great, It's something that is getting Aboriginal people involved, and it's getting Aboriginal people from the start. It's actually working with Aboriginal people, making sure that they're going to get in, and they will be part of this. Like, renewable energy is going to be big bucks. But it's really good that the Indigenous people are starting to say, hey, yeah, we want to be there from the start. We want it culturally appropriate. We want it to be able to, where we can do our stuff. You got great places like Burraloo and stuff that's going into all this stuff. We've seen great presentations, what they're doing up in Northern Territory. It's something that I believe all Aboriginal communities should go into.
And there was quite a bit of talk about the water issues with uranium mining, and particularly the impacts of Olympic Dam uranium mine and their water draw from the Great Artesian Basin. What are the impacts that you've been noticing?
Well, they've been impacting the lakes in and around Arkuna with the new... with Oaks Dam, But, you know, they're also planning on taking water from near Whyalla, from the sea desalination plants. You know, the Spencer Gulf is a very... That's our nursery for our fishes and stuff. If anything goes wrong in that area and they start putting salt and stuff back in, what happens to, you know, our Spencer Gulf? BHP and stuff, and they're talking about getting free water. You know, everybody else has got to pay for the water. Why should a multi-billion dollar company not pay for water? That's totally unfair that the working class man's got to pay for water and have water rates and stuff to be, and think, why can't the big mining companies start pulling their weight and putting money back into communities, what they rip from?
Yeah, that's it. You can really see here so clearly how the state has been captured by these big corporations and is just working for them.
Yeah.
What's the feeling in the community, and what ways do you think people are trying to turn this situation around?
I don't know about the community, but I know myself. If I had my way, Oaks Dam, I don't want Oaks Dam going ahead. Oaks Dam itself in Arkuna, when they drained that lake, there were swans with their cygnets walking. Now, some smart idiot went and said that the swans should have flew away. What idiots don't realise is that when swans nest and they have eggs and they have babies, even the grown-up swans, they are molt and they can't fly. So that's why they have floating nests out in the middle of lakes. And it's something that we as people, we need to stick together on it.
You're tuned to the Radioactive Show on 3CR and broadcast across the continent on the Community Radio Network. We just heard there from Regina McKenzie, and longtime listeners would be familiar with her incredible work at stopping the waste dump that was proposed for Bundi Uda, right adjacent to an Indigenous protected area and the first registered songline in South Australia, at Hookner Spring, that she had been working on. And incredible, all her work across so many different campaign areas. That was recorded at the Nuclear Free Alliance meeting on Nukanu Country at Pitchy Ritchie Park on the weekend of 29 to 31st of August this year. And the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance releases a statement at the end of each meeting, and I'll read that out now. Over the last weekend of August, the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance, ANFA, held a national gathering in the Flinders Ranges in South Australia. ANFA is a network of Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people and groups connected by concern and action about nuclear threats. Over its 28 years, ANFA had played a big part in many important campaigns to stop nuclear projects across Australia. This year's meeting included participants from many communities. Other members of ANFA followed and joined from afar, such as representatives from the Mirarr, Northern Territory, and Upali Upali and Jual, Western Australia. The stories of lived experience shared in the meeting highlighted the long-lasting intergenerational impacts and the sense of loss resulting from unwanted nuclear projects. These projects, whether uranium mining, proposed waste dumps, or the ongoing effects of nuclear weapons testing, leave a toxic legacy for hundreds of thousands of years. Even if the proposed projects do not go ahead, the process often divides communities and families in very painful ways. The meeting recognised that the history of nuclear weapons testing at Emu Fields and Maralinga, as well as the presence of the biggest uranium mine in the country, makes South Australia the nation's nuclear crime scene. If uranium is not contributing to nuclear weapons, it is always contributing to nuclear waste. The meeting called on the Australian government and state leaders to respect the right of free, prior and informed consent, as outlined in the United Nations Declarations for the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, for any project proposed on their lands. ANFA supports the Nuclear Truth Project's protocols in any engagement by government, companies or organisations. meeting participant and Adnyamatna Kuyani woman, Reverend Denise Champion, summed it up. If we tell them we don't want it, they can't claim to have our free, prior and informed consent. First Nations need to stand together and say no. Wollumampa woman Diane Stokes talked about the successful fight to stop the Muckaty nuclear waste dump and encouraged members to sing your traditional songs, dance in the traditional way, be in culture. We are strong. We can do it. The meeting celebrated Australia's strong and clear rejection of nuclear power at this year's federal election and acknowledged the important role of communities at the selected reactor sites. ANTFA has deep concerns over proposed mining developments in northern South Australia. ANTFA demands the extraction of fossil water from the Great Artesian Basin by mining companies must stop. If public money is spent on proposed South Australia desalination project, any pipeline supplying water to extractive companies must be paid for by the companies and not the taxpayers. Adnyamatna Kuyani Elder Regina McKenzie reminded us that we are the custodians, the guardians of the land that feeds us. ANTFA has deep connections with the communities in many parts of the world. The meeting heard messages from friends resisting uranium mining in the southwest of USA, survivors of nuclear weapons testing in the Marshall Islands, and representatives of Peace Boat. The meeting reaffirmed strong opposition to Australia's AUKUS plans and the importance of adhering to the South Australian Nuclear Waste Storage Facility Prohibition Act. The meeting reiterated calls for the Australian government to sign the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons and restated the need for improved monitoring of and support for addressing health issues associated with nuclear projects. The meeting discussed the importance of elevating First Nations and nuclear-free stories at COP31 and called on the South Australian federal governments to ensure access at the forum and for the National NAIDOC Committee to consider a Calling Our People COP31 theme. That's all we've got time for today.
Thanks so much to the Nuclear Free Collective at Friends of the Earth Melbourne for their ongoing support for the program. The Radioactive Show was produced in the studios of 3CR on unceded Kulin lands and is broadcast across the continent thanks to the Community Radio Network. And please join us again next week for more news and views on nuclear peace and energy issues.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.